All right. Well, on New Year's Eve, some of us gathered here at the church and did a time of worship and prayer. And a few of us had an opportunity to just share a verse or maybe a few verses that God had been speaking to us about that kind of got us through the last year. And I had an opportunity to share with the folks that were here out of 3 John verse 4 there. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And that was really something that held me through this last year. I kind of went on to talk about some of the things that had happened personally in our family and around us, and our prayers to God and how he'd been answering those, and we'd been seeing some of that prayer in this scripture itself come to fruition in our family and in our own lives, and just the things how God was moving there. So that was what I shared with there. But it seemed like that there was more to that it would be a good thing to share here on a Wednesday night if I had an opportunity at some time. And I jotted down a few notes, and then I got a text this morning that Pastor was not feeling too well and needed to catch up on some rest. So here we are. And God calls us in season and out of season and says, be ready. So here we are this evening. So if you want to move or turn in your Bibles to the third book of John, way towards the back there, it's between Revelation and 2 Peter. So not a lot of a letter there, about 14 verses. I'm hoping we'll make it through about 8 of those verses tonight. If we get any further than that, I'll be surprised, as you are. And if you're a note taker and you want to put a heading on this, I think what I felt like was kind of fitting for this was In Beloved Truth would be the title of our message tonight. And so this letter is from the Apostle John, referred to here as the elder. And so we'll just read that first verse. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Gaius is the same as we've seen, you know, we see in the Bible this name several different times in the different books. And we don't know if this is the same Gaius as the other places where he's mentioned, but it was obviously a very common name back in the time this letter was written. So it's hard telling. Water here. But in this first verse here, John expresses his love for Gaius. Possibly John had brought Gaius to the truth of the gospel. Maybe he'd have brought him to saving faith in Jesus Christ. It kind of seems that throughout the letter here that he kind of talks like this is someone that he probably brought up in the faith, or at least had a hand in discipling. So whatever the case, we know John truly loved Gaius as a brother in the faith. And verse 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. And so again, he calls John calls Gaius beloved. He gives him a word of encouragement. Possibly Gaius had been ill, but John again expresses his hope for Gaius. He speaks encouragement to him of his growth, his health, his spiritually growing deeper with Jesus. This is how we might say, as you're parting with someone or something, or you're writing them a letter, that you would say that you would you know, have a nice trip, kind of, in a way, you know. You hope that all goes well, be safe, and be well on your way. So, and then verse 3, it says, "For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth." And so again, John starts to get to the next stage of the letter. He gives this report of the testimony from others as to how Gaius is being viewed by the church. He's rejoicing that Gaius is in the truth, and that the truth is in Gaius. Also that Gaius is walking in that truth, and it's evident to all. So this report has come back to John about Gaius and how he's doing. So this isn't just one person coming up and talking to John and saying, you know, that Gaius guy, I really think he's walking in the truth. I just see the evidence of the Holy Spirit in his life. There's love in everything he does, and he just speaks the truth. And you know, he's not only just saying those things or whatever, but he's really walking the walk. But there's this, the what John's referring to is that there's been several people that given the same account about John or about Gaius and his walk. And so John wants to encourage Gaius by telling him those things. In verse 4 it reads, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." That was the verse that I'd said I'd shared there on New Year's Eve. And we have 5 children between us and 7 grandchildren. And I would love to say that all of them have walked in the truth, that we've brought them up completely in the Lord, that they've known Jesus as their Savior for most of their life, or dedicated their life to the Lord. But there was a time when I think all of them expressed their faith as preteens or teenagers and walked with the Lord. And at some time, even some of them seemed like they were really on fire for that. But they kind of drifted away as they got a little older. Other things took over in their lives, you know, whether it was careers or relationships or just, you know, the things of the world kind of got a hold of them, and they drifted off a little bit. But my wife and I have been praying for some time now that our children would come back in the faith and start walking with the Lord. And we went to, you know, many times in prayer to the Lord, and just, you know, Lord, to the place that we weren't really understanding what was going on. What should our prayers look like? What should we say? How, Lord, what can we say to them that might turn them around, that might bring them back to you? Because we saw that their relationship with not only the Lord was being injured by their not being close and drawing to him, but other relationships in their lives were not in right standing with what the Lord would say for them or would want for them. There was other things that were going on with them that were not so good because they weren't walking in the truth. And so at some point in time, and I don't really remember when it was, but the Lord impressed upon my wife and I's heart that we would pray to the Lord, and we just said, Lord, whatever it takes for our children to come and walk with you again. And so the Lord started using different circumstances in their lives, in our lives, in my wife and I's lives, and things that were going on, and started drawing our children back in. And we're seeing the Lord work mightily in different parts of each one of them's lives, and even our grandchildren. And God's done some, you know, he's allowed some extreme things in their lives to draw them to himself. And we want to give him all the praise and all the glory for that. And so we have a few of them that are starting to walk in the truth again. And we're starting to see that fire and that hunger and that relationship grow and those things, and we're seeing God's putting the connection with those prayers to where he used different people in their lives and different circumstances in their lives to draw them to himself. And he's kind of given us a little reveal of all of that. And so we're starting to see some of that. And it's really been awesome. And so I think I shared on New Year's Eve that there was a young man that I discipled for several years. And he kind of has grown up now. He's got his own family. And they have five children themselves. But they live in another part of the state. And he lives near one of our sons. And so we talk to him regularly, and his wife, Daniel's his name, and he and his wife invited my son and his wife to their house for a Bible study. And so I'm seeing this, and I'm hearing a report of what Daniel's telling me. I brought your son to our house and his wife and their kids, and they're walking in the truth now, Daniel's telling me. And what a joy that is to my heart and my wife's heart that we know that they're walking in the truth again. They're in his word. They're having fellowship in his name. My son's calling me and telling me different things that's going on in his life and how God's using him at his work and different things that God's showing him in scripture. And it's so awesome. It's just such a for a dad, a father, and have no greater joy than to know that his children are walking in the truth. And so I know there's a lot of you out there that maybe you don't even have children specifically, but you may have spiritual children. You may have people that you've discipled along or that you've given a word to at some time or that you've been able to pour into from the gospel as you watch them or you've walked beside them as they're growing in their faith. And then you hear from somewhere else or someone else or someone's else about their walking in the truth. And what a joy that brings to our heart when we see that, when we know that that's going on, when that ongoing work, that fruit is coming out, you know, from the things that have happened to them and through you and through God working through you. So that's just an awesome thing to be in a place where you start hearing those reports back. And it speaks of God's faithfulness and how good he is and how much he loves us and how sometimes he has to use or take people through extreme circumstances because of the great love that he has for them and for us to get us to the place where we'll want to hear his voice, where we'll want to feel his touch again, where we will want to read his word and saturate our minds and our hearts with it again, that we can walk in that truth, that we can express the gospel to others and tell them about the goodness and the faithfulness and just the mighty hand of God's working here and the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And so, no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And so, you know, I believe anyone out there would have no greater joy than to hear that. You know, just whether it's one of your own children that you that was born into your family or that you raised or whatever it is, that or just someone that you discipled along the way, that you would hear a report about them. I think we have a lot of reports in this church of kids like that and people that have been nurtured, that have been brought up in the faith, that have been brought alongside, that somebody's put their arm around, so to speak, and just mentored them along, you know, discipled them and brought them up in the faith. And some of those people have gone out and we hear words of so-and-so's walking in the faith, when they're walking in the truth, and we're just, it's such a joy to the hearts of those who know those people, and if they were a part of that, and if you were part of this church and you knew them and you hear those reports, we all have a part in that. So that's how God is. He's so good to all of us. I just wanted to say, and I don't even know if this is really the good place for this, but I wrote it down while I was writing some notes this afternoon. I work at a school, and in one of the classrooms this afternoon, as I had a moment to sit down and jot down a couple of things, I looked up and I saw a plaque there on the wall. And a lot of the classrooms have the teachers put different things on their chalkboard, or they might have a sign or whatever. But in this one particular classroom I was in, I just want to read this to you, what it said on it. And I just, hopefully we can kind of apply this to our lives, or just think about it and apply it to our church, because I think a lot of the things that are contained in these few words here do apply to this church. And I know they do, and I want you to be encouraged by that. So I was encouraged by that. So it says, in this classroom, we do second chances. We apologize, we forgive, we respect each other. We keep our promises. We never give up. We encourage each other. We laugh often. We belong. We belong. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ out there, you belong. You belong to the family of God. You belong, you're part of the body of Christ, right? And so you belong. And then the last thing it says on the bottom of that list, on that plaque that in this teacher's room, says, we are family. We are family. And so that's what we are here in this church. We're fellow believers in Jesus Christ. We're family, one another. The body of Christ is made up of many different members, right? With different gifts and different looks and different ways of doing things. But we're all part of the body of Christ because of our relationship with him and through him. And so that makes us one in him, right? And so I just wanted to read that, because that really encouraged me as I read that this afternoon, just thinking about that. And think about those things and how the truth of those things applies to the church here, and how you see those things and how they reflect maybe in your home or your workplace, or maybe all those, or maybe with your, you know, just with your acquaintances and your friends. Are those things true? So let's move on to verse 5. And kind of shifting gears here again. Gaius is commended for his generosity, is the heading in my Bible. It says, beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. You do faithfully whatever you do. And what encouraging words those had to be to Gaius to hear. From a mentor, from possibly a spiritual father in the faith, one who loved him dearly. Obviously, he sets out this letter saying that to him. He loves him in the truth. It says, for brethren and strangers. And so there's not really any difference between brethren and strangers, like there was brethren and then there's the strange guys. It's all one thing. He's saying one thing. There's brothers, because what he's moving through here and talking about is some of these people are missionaries. They're people that maybe they don't really know real well, but they're coming through and they've got an opportunity to talk to them, and they're fellowshipping with them and eating with them and lodging some of them in their homes and those type of things. So he's just putting that there. So the hospitality, they just opened up their homes, the hospitality. I think Patrick talked a little bit of that on Sunday, just talked about, you know, between, you know, the married folks in the congregation here and the single folks. You know, when's the last time that you invited a single person to your house for dinner, or invited them for this, or had a lunch with them, or did whatever, you know, and just those different types of things. So being inviting, because if we're family, like it said at the end of the other thing there, and we believe in the truth and we believe all these things and we hope all things and we know all these things, that love is in that truth, and the love should be in us, and that love should be expressed by caring for one another, right? We should care for one another. And so that's That's the body ministering to the body, one unto another, to help them to, and that's what we're here to do, is to help equip and to supply each other for our needs and the spiritual realm and for physical realm and all those other things, where that we can help each other be equipped for the ministry, to go out and do the different things that we're doing. Because we have missionaries within the church. All of us are missionaries when we walk out those doors. You know, there's a missionary field out there everywhere. And sometimes that missionary field falls into the room here. And there's people that come in that are curious about what happens in a church. Maybe never stepped foot in a church before. And we have a wonderful group of people here who greet them and speak to them and talk to them. And then once they get in here, we try to replicate that as best as we can and try to start conversations and be inviting and loving and caring to one another. And that's how the body of Christ, that's how God works in and through us as a body of believers. In verse 6 it says, "You have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in the manner worthy of God, you will do well." And so another proof of Gaius' genuineness as a Christian. So again, John has heard from these missionaries of their experience with Gaius. They would have reported this to the church. And so you can kind of equate this to, like, you know, sometimes we might have a time, I think, here, it's been about 3 weeks, three weekends ago, we had a guy that brought his testimony for a Saturday men's breakfast. And I think we used to do that a little more regular. We'd have people come in and they'd give their testimony of what God was doing in their lives, or maybe where they were from and how they're seeing God move in the different things. And so these missionaries, as they would come through, people would be excited to hear about what God was doing, where they'd been, what was going on, and as maybe they'd helped financially with some of these people, or lodged them before, or done different things, or heard of their goings on in other places. They, you know, when those people would show up in their town, they would I want to hear what God's doing with you and with the church that He's starting in another place, and these different things. And so that would encourage them. And so when we do that, we also think about when we're the ones here in the church and these missionary people are coming in and we're speaking with them and they're telling us of what God's doing and different things, that we can be encouraged by that. And that as we help them and supply them and do different things with them, we partake in what God's doing with them and through them, where they're at or wherever God's sending them to. And that's kind of what he's telling Gaius here, is he's just encouraged in what he's hearing back from these people that had an experience or had a time when they came through, and Gaius was very hospitable to them and just made their burden even lighter as they went through some of their different things. Because if you've known any missionaries, especially those that have been out in the field or where they're maybe far from a town or far from a city or far from any place with any of the things that we take pretty much for granted, some of those people have it a little bit rough, but they know that they're called to those places. And sometimes it's nice for them to come in out of that field for a season and get some respite. And so if you ever have an opportunity to host somebody like that that's coming in off the field, and just love on them and take care of their needs and listen to the stories, because it's encouraging for them to speak those things forward to other people, that they might know that somebody cares and wants to hear what God's doing with them. And I think God uses that to speak to them personally, because then they're getting to replay in their mind, hey, God really has been using me out here in the field. He really has been doing some things. I didn't really think about that, but as I start talking about it and thinking about it, here it is, it's coming up. And I'm like, man, that's, And so that can be very encouraging for somebody who's out there, especially when they're maybe quite a ways from, you know, the normal things of a town and a city and a place where, let's say just stores and those different things. I have some friends that are missionaries in Brazil, and they live in a city in Brazil. It's kind of their residence, but most of their time is spent in the deep part of the jungle, and it's by canoe, and it takes like a day in and a day out, just in the canoe. And so, and once they get there, there's no electricity, there's none of this other stuff, and so there's no cell phone service, there's none of these other things, and so, you know, they're pouring into these people, and so when they come back, it's always good to connect with my friend and hear what's going on with them and what God's doing in those places in Brazil. And he's told me that it's encouraging for them to be able to speak those things and hear back, like I said, to replay in their mind, here God is doing some things, that God is working there. And so I think that's kind of what John is speaking here to Gaius, that you're doing a good work. Don't grow weary while doing well. So let's move on to verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers with the truth. The missionaries were going out in Jesus' name. And so the word let me back up to verse 7 because I don't want to miss that part. In verse 7 it says, because they went forth for his name's sake. Or I guess I was in verse 7. Thank you very much. Because they went forth for his name's sake. And then it's capitalized there, so we know he's talking about the Lord when he says his. And it says, taking nothing from the Gentiles. Now, we know there's a distinction between Gentiles and Jews in most circumstances, but the Gentiles he's talking about here would be unbelievers. And so he's saying there was other cults and different things that, you know, when they went through, they drummed up support and different things from the Gentiles, whoever they could get money from. It didn't matter to them. But what John's saying here is that they took nothing from anybody else. They weren't looking for support from the world. Their support came from within the church, right? So that's what he's speaking of there. And then, we therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers with the truth. I just wanted to back up on that and make sure I didn't give that, didn't pass that over. We should receive them as we do, as we receive them, we partake in their work. They are working for the Lord, and we want to feed them, supply their needs, and do whatever we can. Like I said, encourage to lift them up, lift their arms while they're here, and maybe give them a word. Maybe God has a word that he's given you for them. And then they can take that back with them. And that's something that can supply their needs, their spiritual needs, for a season while they're back out away from their loved ones, while they're out in the mission field, and while they're out doing the work that the Lord has put their hands to. So, and so, I wanted to think. I'm going to back up here a little bit because I want to go back over some of this, mainly because most of my notes are from verse 1-8, and so if we go any further than that, I'm afraid we're going to miss some stuff that I wanted to talk about. So, if you look at the first four verses there, John uses the word truth. And maybe we'll just go over that again. It says, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. And he said, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. And then he uses it one more time. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And that's that word truth that he uses there each time is the same word, aletheia, I think is how you say it in the Greek. And so that's very important that we think about that he's, John loves Gaius in the truth. He rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in Gaius. And just as he knows because of this testimony and the things that are happening, that the genuineness of that testimony to him tells him that Gaius is walking in the truth. And then he says in verse 4 there, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And so for the fourth time there, he says that same word. And so he loves him in the truth. He's rejoicing greatly about the testimony that's came of him walking in the truth. And he believes and he trusts and he knows that Gaius is walking in that truth. And then he tells him, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And so kind of giving light maybe again there in verse 4 to the fact that John most likely was the one that possibly either discipled or mentored or brought Gaius to the truth and introduced him to that truth. And then we see that word truth one more time in verse 8 there. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. And so if we think about Gaius's life here and John's life, John writing this, another, the third of his short little epistles here to a very dear friend, a personal, this is like a personal little letter specifically to Gaius that he wants him to hear these things. John wants him to know his love for him. He wants him to know the report, the things that are being said about him, and that John believes that report, and how much John rejoices to know that one of his children is walking, and that he's heard that one of his children is walking in the truth. And so I believe that's encouraging for John as he hears that, as he writes this letter, 14 little verses, but we know, if we spend any time in the Bible and in the Word, it doesn't take a lot of verses to get a lot of meat and meaning to, right? We know there's a lot in there. There's probably a lot, way more than we're going to get to tonight, and things that you can see and go back and look at. So, but there's a lot there. But we know John wants to encourage his friend that he loves. And he's encouraged already by what he hears about his friend. And so he speaks that to him in this little short letter here. And I believe, again, rejoicing greatly and having no greater joy, if you think about those things. Here this is, John's written this little letter because he's encouraged by what he's hearing about this Gaius. And so it's encouraging John's heart, and he's encouraging Gaius as he writes this letter. And so he knows that there's some things about Gaius that are true, that he's loving, that he's walking in the truth, and he's living the truth. He's walking the walk, and he's talking the talk, and his witness aligns with everything that's going on with him. And so those are very important things. If you were to get a short little note or a letter from someone here in the church, or a friend or an acquaintance or whatever like that, How encouraging would it be for you to get that and for someone to relay to you what they see in your life, that you are walking in the truth? And so think about that now from John's perspective, that you're that person, that you're writing that letter to someone that you're seeing. Have any of you ever written a letter like that? I mean, just or a little note, jotted it down for somebody? Man, I really see how the Lord's working in Grayson's life. And I want to encourage her in that. And so, you know, man, that set of worship just really, that was great. Thank you so much, Grayson. I see the growth that's gone on with you. I see how you're walking in the truth, how God's using you. You know, just maybe her prayer life has changed since I've known her, and I've seen some things going on. I'm like, wow, look at that. Grayson, I'm so excited. I'm rejoicing in that, and I want her to know it because I feel like the Lord's speaking that to me, and I want her to be encouraged, right? So those are the kind of things that I think that if I was going to say or encourage you guys to do something, jot somebody a note down sometime that you see, that you observe, you know, within the body here, or maybe it's somebody you work with that's a believer, and just encourage that person, because we all need to hear that, because the world wants to beat us up about those things, and we know we have an enemy that wants to discourage us from rejoicing as we walk in the truth ourselves, or that we're encouraging others to for those same things. So that word that I told you there, aletheia, is used every time when John writes the truth here. And so not in 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John, but in the Gospel of John. If you want to make your way back there to, let's venture over there for a second and go to chapter 18. And so if you kind of starting there, I think in verse 28. And I'm not going to try to read all that, but this is in Pilate's court. It says Pilate's kind of, asking, kind of doing a little Q&A with Jesus, so to speak. He's asking him some questions, and Jesus is answering his questions, and they go back and forth. But this kind of came to me this evening, kind of the last things as I was finishing up my notes. Let's go to verse 33 there. It says, then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priest have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. What can't you find fault in? It's the truth, isn't it? There's no fault in the truth. There's no fault in Jesus. Pilate said it right there. I find no fault in him. The world couldn't find any fault in him. That's Pilate. The religious people that should have known who Jesus was had to make up stuff to try to look like Jesus wasn't the truth. It's interesting, the question that Pilate asked Jesus there, what is the truth? What is truth? I think Jesus told him, you say rightly that I am a king. It's the truth. For this cause I was born. This is the truth. And for this cause I have come into the world. That's the truth. That I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So that's why I think Pilate had to ask him, what is truth? Because he couldn't hear his voice. He wasn't of the truth. And so, going back to my talking about our kids and other people in our family that we've been praying for a long time, it's a good question to maybe see or ask them. Are you of the truth? Do you know what the truth is? Because if we look around the world now, there's a lot of things that are being said out there that people are saying is the truth, but it's not this truth. It's not aletheia. Okay? It's only one truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but by me. That's the truth we want to be in. That's the truth that we want our loved ones, our children, our friends, our acquaintances, our neighbors, anyone we know. We want them to be in that truth. Because the reality is, if they're not in that truth, if they don't know Jesus, then they're of the world, right? They're not found in the truth. And when they pass from this world, they want to be found in the truth. We want them to be found in the truth. We want to be in the truth. We want to be in Jesus. Amen? That's where we want to be. That's where we desire for others to be. Jesus is the truth. His word is truth. As we walk and live in him, we're in the truth. There's no other name under heaven by which men could be or can be saved but by Jesus, right? I don't know who's listening out there online, or maybe that wasn't the whole point of all this, but if you're asking yourself, what, I don't know that I know what that truth is. Please, if you're out there online and you're streaming, put that question up. I want to know what the truth is. I think we have somebody that would like to answer that question for you. If you want to get a hold of the church here or email us or email one of the pastors. They'd love to introduce you to the truth. If you want to stop by here sometime on a Sunday or a Wednesday, Sunday, I believe we're here from 8 to 2 o'clock, it seems like, on every Sunday. People here who love and know the truth, that would love and just be delighted and rejoicing to tell you the truth if you don't know it. They'd love to introduce you to a loving Savior who cares deeply about you. When I talked on New Year's Eve, I said that my wife and I had been saying this bold prayer, you know, whatever it takes, Lord, for our children, whatever it takes for our loved ones. Isn't that kind of what Jesus said to his Father? Lord, if there be any other way, and me having to go and face that cross and die on it for the sins of the world, if there'd be any other way, can we do that? But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Isn't that kind of the same prayer in a way? Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. That's what Jesus did. He did whatever it took. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if you haven't made that decision, if you're thinking about that decision, please do call the church. Come to the church. We'd love to have you. We'd love to talk to you about the truth. If there's anybody here, I think I know everybody here, but if for some reason there's something that's going on with you and you just say, hey, I need a prayer. So I'm not feeling like I'm walking in the truth right now. Maybe that truth seems a little more distant than what it used to be, and not so sure that I'm so near to that truth that if somebody was going to jot a note down about me, whether that would be what they wrote. But there's one step back towards that. It's just getting up and talking to someone and praying with them, and Jesus is right there to hear your cry, because he more than you wants. He more than you desire wants to reconcile that relationship or get whatever it is that isn't straight with you and him straightened up, because he loves you that much. He proved it 2,000 years ago, putting himself up on that cross. He loves us all. We belong if we're in the truth, and we are family. Amen. All right. I think Grayson's going to come back up here. If anybody needs any prayer, I think got some people around, or if you just want to maybe turn to the person next to you, or the person 6 feet away from you, or however that works for you, and just say, hey, man, could you pray for me? Hey, sister, could you pray for me? Hey, brother, could you pray for me? And God bless you, folks.